How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, we are halfway home on a victory Monday. Ben and Woods, 97-3. The Fan of Series victory Monday, as it were. Very excited about that. We don't complain when we win series. Let's go win another one against the D-backs. Starts tonight. I'm Woodsy. Yes, I am still on location in Hawaii. No, I have not moved here permanently yet, but I will be here. I'm going to be on the show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday is a travel day, so I'll be heading back to San Diego, and then I'll be live back in studio on Friday. Certainly miss you fellas. I'll be coming home with some gifts, just showering you both with macadamia nuts, all kinds of
macadamia nuts. I told you
that. You're going to learn to like them because that's what they have here. It's everything has macadamia nuts in it and on it and about it. So you will be showered, and I'm going to be sprinkle them behind you when you walk, and they'll make that crunchy, creaky sound that they make when you bite into them.
I don't really like them that much.
Yeah, it's the weird. They have
How
the
do you
weirdest
feel about
texture.
Macadamia nut cookies, like white chocolate.
Yeah, no,
macadamia
I try
nut.
To avoid those. Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer of the program, and Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports
anchor. And that means you'll be back on Friday for our manager's report with Mike Schilt at 9 a.m. here on Ben Woods. Manager's report, I remind you, is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. You'll be back to your EcoWater as well. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. Just thought I'd wedge that in there for you, Woods.
Yeah, slam it in there, which is fine. I'm glad that you did that. Somebody had said earlier, man, was he wearing that Oasis shirt out? Well, and I'll tell you why. I told you maybe last week, I didn't pack very well on this trip, mostly because I had my wife lording over everything I was packing. I packed at the last minute because I didn't have a suitcase. Remember, it was coming back from my other trip to England. So I really only had a few hours to get it unpacked, all the stuff washed and repacked. So I packed one long sleeve shirt. Now, you know, it's freezing in this room. There are two temperatures here. Devastatingly draining, humid, hot, or freezing cold in a room with air conditioning. And that's what I'm in currently. So it's my only long sleeve shirt that I have. I only packed one pair of jogger pants, which I wear on the, I've worn the exact same outfit every show we've done because I've been frozen solid in here. So I did. She was really making fun of me on Twitter because I brought three button-down shirts, you know, in case we went out for a nice dinner or whatever. And we've gone out to some really nice dinners. I only have one swimsuit that I can wear that has pockets in it. So I've worn that every single day. The other one just has that little pocket down the side that doesn't hold anything. So I've got actual pockets and everything like
that.
Do
you wash it or do you just let it dry and get kind of crusty and then put it back on again the next day?
It's in the water. I rinse in the outdoor shower and then I take it off and put it, you know, up on the ledge to dry or throw it in the dryer. But my wife, I told her, she goes, you don't wear short sleeve button down shirts at home ever. I go, yeah, you're right. But when I go to Hawaii, I do it a little differently. And I tested out a new look and I sent it to you fellas. Now I didn't put it on Twitter because Twitter is where I get the majority of grief in my life. I'm called, you know, a guy told me join a gym fatty the other day. I mean, I just get roasted on Twitter. So I kept it off of Twitter. I did put it on Instagram. And with the caption, I told Mama I was going to let it eat this trip. And I did. I let it eat. Paul, you have – yeah, look at that. That's the new – what do you guys think about that look from your old pal?
That is
– can't see it.
That is something.
I feel
what
like
do you think?
It's like a leopard print Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah,
with,
it's a leopard print like
are those
silk.
The sunglasses I gave you? They look good.
No, they are –
oh, those not
those
ones?
Are,
all right.
Those, no, those are the ones Hannah got me.
Okay. Well, they look good, though. I don't know. It feels like something like Tony Soprano would wear on a Hawaiian vacation.
I thought so, too. I got a lot of drug dealer. I got a lot of, you know, old man trying to look young vibes. But porn. I did get some of that as well. So Purple asked, why do I look so greasy? Well, you got to lotion up. You have to lubricate You got to lubricate the skin after a long day out in the sun. Miami strip club manager, there's definitely that vibe. I've never worn leopard print before. And I will say, my wife bought me that one. Okay? She bought me that one. And I wanted to wear it out for her and show her, yes, I'm not embarrassed to wear this. Once I wore it out to the restaurant, I did get looks that I didn't particularly like. To be honest, I did have people kind of side-eyeing me like, look at this tryhard, right? And I don't know that I'll...
Well, did you put a gold chain on? Because that would have been too tryhard look.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Nate in the chat with the comment of the morning, he says, you look like Ronnie Mund.
Ronnie Mund,
which is,
from the Stern Show.
Yeah, kind of a deep cut if you don't know, but if you do know, then you know. And I can absolutely see it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a little conflicted because I don't know how to feel as a producer. There's a part of me that feels like a bit of a proud papa because Ben also put out a selfie last week. Now, that's both of you guys putting out your own selfie content. And, I'm just, glad that I didn't have to finally do the work for you guys.
What is this, Benjamin?
I just wanted to show off the patio at Seven Mile Casino that I always rave about. And there it is, the view. You can see the bay and Coronado in the background. It's just it's a great patio, and I thought, well, I'll just include myself in the shot as well.
What is wrong with us?
We're two very different people.
50-year-old men in here
who did it better?
Selfies. I can't. We are idiots, both of us. Both idiots.
We both make the mistake of looking at ourselves and not the actual lens of the camera when taking the selfie, which I can never get over the whole thing. Don't look at yourself. Look at the lens of the camera when you're taking a selfie, and I never seem to get that right.
Yeah, it's boomer mistake number one.
What is with your smile?
I'm very happy. I'm at Seven Mile Casino. Why wouldn't I be extremely happy? What's with your almost scowly frown? You're on vacation in Hawaii. You should be as happy as I am.
I'm trying to look like a hard ass. And your look, I don't even know what your look is. You look like you just walked in and saw something.
Tyler
that you
says,
supposed to see.
Tyler in the chat says, two brothers whose lives went down very different paths.
So good, man.
Ben's over here hey, look at this patio. And we're just like, okay, here's what we're going to do.
Okay. It is. These are the worst selfies ever, dude. There's, yeah, Ben, you have the school picture day pose.
Yep.
For sure. The guy you end up taking home versus the guy you should take home, says KG. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Caitlin says,
I look like I'm going to rob you. Yeah, for sure. Listen, somebody also said, and I agree with this, when you go on vacation, it's okay to let yourself be outside of your comfort zone, right? I do agree with that. I feel like when you go on vacation, like I call it, you know, I told my wife, I'm going to let it eat a little bit on this trip. And you know, she said, okay, let it eat, babe. We'll see how that goes. And, it worked out well for me last night, if you know what I mean. So I think you got to let it eat on vacation. Do go a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And I definitely did. I shan't be wearing the leopard print back in San Diego. That I promise you.
I'm glad let it eat a little bit on a trip, though. That's the way to go.
You have to. I think so. I agree with you 100%.
All right, before we get to the rest of this hour, I did want to bring up quickly, back to baseball for a second, where the Padres now stand. They did not gain any ground on the Dodgers. Both teams won 2 out of 3 this weekend. Dodgers beat the Rays yesterday 3-0 behind 5 2/3 shutout innings from Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So Padres are still 3 back in the NL West race. They did gain a ground on the Cincinnati Reds, who dropped 2-3 to the Braves. So the Padres are now 4 games up in the wild card race for the last playoff spot in the National League, which is obviously important. Getting into the postseason's the biggest thing of all. But they also have gained a little bit of ground on the Mets and the Phillies. And why that's important, Woods, is, yes, the Padres want to beat the Dodgers, win the division, and find a way to capture their first National League West crown since 2006. But that doesn't automatically get you a bye in the first round. You have to be one of the top two division winners. Otherwise, you're just playing in a wild card series. So the Padres have to pass the Dodgers, but they also have to pass the Mets and the Phillies and be ahead of the other division winner. Now, you don't have to pass the Brewers or the Cubs. You could be the two seed and still get a bye. So if we're really looking ahead and seeing what the Padres' aim is, and that is a bye in the first round of the playoffs, yeah, you got to pass the Dodgers, but you also need to finish ahead of one of the other two division champions. And being now within a game of both the Mets and the Phillies, who are essentially tied for the NL East lead, and the other one is the two seed in the wild card, gives you a better chance of doing that at the end of the season if you do catch the Dodgers.
I mean, look, dude, I was scoreboard watching back in April and May. I really was. And this is where it gets to be crippling, actually, when you start every day just pouring over and almost obsessing about, you know, what those other teams are doing. I like doing it. Like I said, I've been doing it for 5 months now. I'm not going to stop now, but yeah, it's a good point you make, man. These are all huge. Got to win these games against teams like the Diamondbacks, Benny. And, you know, the Red Sox coming in after that, can't really look too far ahead. They're a good team as well, but man, these are the games that can help you. And, you know, Dodgers are going to be taking on the Cardinals. I don't know who the Mets and Phillies are playing. But yeah, man, like this is huge.
Phillies are home to Baltimore. Mets are home to Cleveland. Ugh. So they got some interleague action. And as you said, the Cardinals are going to Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. I joked in the ninth inning yesterday, and of course, Dodgers fans on Twitter took it seriously.
Were
playing 4D chess by trying to get the Cardinals a little bit hot before they headed up to Los Angeles. And that's why they gave up, you know, Adrian Morejon gave up those runs. Obviously, that was a joke. But they would like to see the Cardinals, see if they can take a game or two from the Dodgers this week when they go and start tonight, actually, with Miles Michaelis against Emmett Sheehan. So, you know, there will be a lot of scoreboard watching going on the rest of the season now, Woods. And it's okay. 50 games left. This is the time of the year where you're actually allowed to do it and talk about the implications of all these games.
Go ahead.
You're allowed to do it with 150 games to go, which is exactly what I did.
Yes, it is a little silly back then, but now you know exactly. You know, you're cheering against the Reds. They are in Chicago to face the Cubs, so they've got a tough series on the road. You could really put some distance between yourself and all the wild card contenders this week if you have a good week and the Reds struggle. So, you know, that is definitely lots of scoreboard watching time going on.
I know it's still early. It's, you know, August 4th, there's a lot of baseball still to be played, but when you look at FanGraphs and they do their analytical projections, they've pretty much determined the six playoff teams in the National League are already set. The Padres have the lowest chances still in the sixth seed, but they're at 89.9% chance of likelihood to make the playoffs.
That's crazy. A week ago, they were under or right at 50%.
Yeah.
And just 1 week later, going 7-1 and making the acquisitions they did.
I mean, they've got the Phillies
jumped to 90%.
Phillies at 97, Mets at 93.6, Brewers at 98.1, Cubs at 97.6, and then the Dodgers and the Padres. And it's really like the next closest team would be the Reds at 9.8%.
Benny, did you get this one wrong here? Somebody said in the chat tonight is actually gray against glass now. Is that right?
Did they mix it up? You're right. It is gray against glass now. The second game is Michaelis Sheehan. I was looking at Tuesday's matchup. So
gotcha. Today is Monday, unfortunately. And
you're right. I was looking at Tuesday. Good call.
Should be a good one.
Dodgers did get, you know, Blake Snell was back. He actually lost over the weekend, but they are getting healthier. Glasnow, Snell, Yamamoto, you know, in their starting rotation is definitely better than they were standing a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, they're not going to be easy to catch by any stretch of the imagination. Can this Padres team now restructured post-deadline compete with the Dodgers? Sure.
Yes.
Are they
going
to just roll over and die? Absolutely not. You know, making up three games in 50, you know, is possible, but you need to play pretty good baseball. I mean, I would imagine the Padres need to win at least 33, basically 2 out of every 33-17, 2 out of 3 games to have a really good shot at passing the Dodgers. So they did it against the Cardinals. They took 2 out of 3. Got to keep doing that as you go forward. And, of course, the games against the Dodgers, which are coming up here in a couple of weeks, are going to be absolutely critical.
That's how you do it right there. I mean, it's right there in your hands in front of you. Yeah, you need some help. down the road. But you you have that opportunity. What, six games left against those guys? So
yeah
you make some noise there for sure. And there's no reason why you couldn't go out and try to win the division.
Quickly, a couple of other highlights from yesterday. The Brewers remain red hot. They scored 38 runs over the weekend. Yes, they were just taking on the Nationals, but they continue to roll with a three-game sweep as they are still in the lead over the Cubs in the NL Central. Cubs got a walk-off from Justin Turner. You know, that was his first ever walk-off home run of his career. 40-year-old Justin Turner to beat the Orioles 5-3. And in the National League, that was about it. Diamondbacks did win their second in a row, before facing the Padres here, although they had lost six in a row prior to that. And, Sunday Night Baseball, nice scene for the Phillies as they got to eight strong innings from Christopher Sanchez, who's really been terrific all season long. He shut down the Padres a couple of times. And then Johan Duran got his first save to combine on the shutout for the Phillies with their 2-0 win over the Tigers last night.
I thought he got one Friday. Didn't
he had a second save already?
A second save, yeah. He's pretty nasty, dude. That's an elite pickup from them.
The only bad news for the Brewers was they put Miz on the injured list.
He got
a contusion with a line drive off of his tibia. So he'll be out probably a couple of weeks here, which doesn't seem like the Brewers have slowed down at all, though, as they continue to play well.
And again, for them, you know, a kid that they were wanting to monitor his innings, good way to do it. You know, good way to do
That's
it.
True.
This is not ideal, but it's, they didn't have to run him out there yesterday, much to my fantasy team's chagrin. But they can now, take a few innings off of his arm and have them for the stretch run.
All right, because Woods is here, we will play Take on Woods, and we got a spectacular new prize here for August, including a stay at Resorts World Las Vegas. I'll tell you all about it when we come back, but we do need a contestant to play our musical trivia challenge. 833-288-0973. Call during the break. Get online. We'll pick someone, and we'll play head-to-head against Woods for a chance to qualify for our grand prize drawing. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
First, gang, let me tell you quickly about QC Kinetics. I will be on the phone with them probably this afternoon or tomorrow booking an appointment because jammed my wrist, one of the wrists that they had done some incredible work on that has lasted me forever. I jammed it playing baseball, sliding in the second base, and it's not healing the way that I wanted it to. I know exactly what I need to do. It's the exact same symptoms I had before. I jammed it. I'm going to need to go to QC Kinetics. It feels so good knowing there's going to be relief there because it's worked for me before. If you woke up this morning with pain in any of your joints, make that call today to QC Kinetics. Got a couple of locations for you, Hillcrest and Torrey Hills. Their number is 619-614-PAIN. Okay, you can bring your x-rays, MRIs to QC Kinetics. They'll give you a free, no-pressure chat and thorough evaluation to see if you're a good candidate for what they do, which is repairing damaged joint tissue with natural cellular therapies, no scalpels, no pills, just long-term relief with no dreaded recovery. So call them today, 619-614-PAIN. Schedule that free consultation with the medical pros at QC Kinetics. Thousands of patients like me that will tell you they wish they would have done it sooner. So do yourself a favor today. If you want to get back on the bike, on the golf course, on the baseball field, call QC Kinetics today at 619-614-PAIN. Let them know Woodsy from 97.3 The Fan. Ben and Woods sent you.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got our Linsider, Dennis Lynn, talking Padres here at the bottom of the hour. Let me tell you about the prize that we've got this month. Brand new prize for Take on Woods. And it's a good one. Maybe one of the best we've ever offered. It is another two-night stay in Vegas. This time Resorts World Las Vegas, which is terrific. Two VIP expedited admission passes to IU Day Club and a $175 food and beverage credit. Now, let me give you some of the details here. Celebrate summer with a two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas. Dine poolside at one of their five unique pool experiences in a 5.5-acre pool complex, the largest elevated pool deck on the Las Vegas Strip, and experience IU Day Club, a stunning oasis inspired by the idyllic islands of Southeast Asia, where the ultimate party concepts woods transforms the weekend into a never-ending summer. Special summer rates available now at rwlasvegas.com, now offering no resort fees and complimentary parking.
Not bad.
That's the prize this month.
Feels like I could wear my shirt there.
You could.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That shirt would definitely play there.
In fact, all you right, probably would there. Like, it's required that you wear a shirt like that there. Yes. So let's all try right. and see if we can qualify someone and play today's game of Take on Woods. Take on Woods brought to you by Bay Alarm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you. And we've got Guy in Bay Park. Guy, good morning. A regular here on Take on Woods. Chance to qualify early this month. How are you doing?
Good morning. Aloha, Woodsy.
Oh, he's already gone.
He's gone.
He's already gone. Let's get to the game. Right. Let's get to the game here. You can talk to him at the end. Here are your categories. We've got Not on Any Map, five song titles with fictional place names in them. The Eyes Have It, five bands that begin with the letter I. And our new category is Wish List, five song titles that begin with I Want. So Not on Any Map, The Eyes Have It, or Wish List. Guy, what would you like to play?
Let's go with the first one. Not on any map.
Okay. Again, this is five song titles with fictional places in the name. So you won't find these on any map. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as you can. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's the 2 second song. Paulie will play you that clip. You need to give me the title with the fictional place and the artist to score the point. Guy, are you ready to play?
I am ready.
All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock, Pauly. Guy, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett.
Correct. The grass is green and the girls are pretty, in which 1989 hit for Guns N' Roses.
Paradise City.
Correct. The Beach Boys had gone 22 years without a number one hit before returning to the top with which 1988 song?
Kokomo?
Correct. In 1980, Lips Inc. topped the charts for 4 weeks with a song about what groovin' spot?
Funky Town.
Correct. In 1973, Three Dog Night sang about which mythical kingdom supposedly located in the Himalaya Mountains? A little bit of time.
About 10 seconds.
Three Dog Night. I mean, Round the Bend? I don't know.
It's Shambhala, but that was the tough one. You did get four. You got Margaritaville, Paradise City, Kokomo, and Funky Town. Will that be enough to hold up? Hang on the line, Guy. Let's text Woods and get him to put his headset back on. There he is. All right, Guy's score is locked in. You get the same five questions, no benefit of the category. I don't know, this one could be tricky. Let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Guy.
It's Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett.
Correct. The grass is green and the girls are pretty, in which 1989
hit. Paradise City.
Correct. The Beach Boys had gone 22 years without a number one hit before returning the top with which 1988 song?
Kokomo.
Correct. In 1980, Lips Inc. topped the charts for 4 weeks with a song about what groovin' spot?
Pass.
In 1973, Three Dog Night sang about which mythical kingdom supposedly located in the Himalaya Mountains?
What? Son of a... I don't know. The Lost Taint.
Incorrect. You want to go back to Lips Inc. 1980 yeah. topped the charts for 4 weeks with a song about what groovin' spot?
The Isle of Taint.
That's a three, and that is not enough as Guy wins at 4-3. Those were all not on any map. Fictional places. Lips Inc. would be Funky Town. And Three Dog Night was Shambhala, which is the toughest
what
one.
What was the category?
Not on any map. Fictional places that you won't find on any map. Margaritaville, Paradise City, Kokomo, Funky Town, and Shambhala.
Down in flames there. Sorry about that.
It's all right. Guy. We got a qualifier already for a great prize. Congratulations, Guy. Paulie will put your name into the hopper for the drawing at the end of the month. This would be a really fun one to win, to be sure. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples, calling all parents and teachers. At Staples, your back-to-school budget is officially saved by the button, the easy button, with supplies as low as 25 cents, plus laptops up to 40% off, and more deals on top brands and trending styles. Find it all at Staples. That was easy. All right, we'll get some insider info from Dennis Lynn, including how Joe Musgrove's bullpen session went over the weekend. Talk more about Michael King's rehab and more. That is coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
Well, now you've seen the picture of how happy I was at 7 Mile Casino last week, so you know it's true. I was like Goofy. I was so happy being at 7 Mile Casino and enjoying their patio at Sammy's.
I don't know that I've seen anyone happier with a bigger grin on their face, like he's off to school on his first day. No, it's a great, great place to go sit down, play some California-style blackjack, some Texas Hold'em, Pie Gal or Baccarat. They got great food, smoke-free environment as well. Hence the big smile on Benny's face.
And you know how long it took me to get there? Just about 7 minutes, because you don't have to drive deep into the East County to find any of those other card rooms and then drive all the way back. No big parking garages, 100 degree heat to deal with.
What?
100 degree,
try that again?
100
try it again.
Degree heat to deal with when you're walking to and from your car. It is simply right there, west side of the 5, Bay Boulevard in Chula Vista. So easy to get to. Check it out this week at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
I don't know how to feel about this, Woods, but I cannot flip on my television or scroll through my social media feeds right now without someone extolling the virtues of the San Diego Padres, whether it was A-Rod on national TV over the weekend, or ESPN, or J.P. Morosi on MLB Network, or this morning, Jim Bowden, or Ken Rosenthal with The Athletic. Everyone is saying good things about the Padres, and honestly, makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, you've gotten quite superstitious, as evidenced by Friday's open. I it's weird because you are the very logical one, and now you're getting all nervous and in your feelings about it. And listen, man, you know, you got to win ball games, as you know, one at a time. Can only control what you can control.
I think it's more that I feel like the Padres are getting a target painted on their back by everybody, which is that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe they have a roster that's capable, as everyone is saying, a roster capable of winning the World Series. But honestly, Paulie went through the other five teams that are expected to make the playoffs. I think they all have rosters that can win the World Series. I mean, the Dodgers,
no doubt.
The Cubs, the Brewers,
the
Mets, and the Phillies. Yeah. They all feel like. I'm not going to be shocked at this point if any one of them gets to and wins the World Series out of the National League. I'm just not.
Agreed. I agree with you 100%. Everyone's pretty deep, man. That's why they are in the position they're in.
All right, we'll get an update from Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Our Lynn Sider will join us right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Lynn Sider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
So what I appreciate about Dennis is he brings a very level-headed perspective. He's not negative. He's not positive. I feel like he's a very honest, realistic observer of the Padres. As a good reporter for The Athletic should be. And he joins us right now on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Ben.
Right.
I will take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment.
Sure.
Now, from that level-headed perspective, what, if anything, did you learn about the Padres, the new-look Padres, after watching them the last three games against the St. Louis Cardinals?
First of all, let me preface that the Cardinals are not very good. as we all know, especially after the deadline. But I think this is a team in the Padres that has even fewer holes than last year. Now, a lot of that's going to depend on what Fernando Tatis is come October, what Jackson Merrill is, and whether they can kind of reattain the heights that they reached, you know, last season and last October. But I think if you look at the lineup, if you look at the bullpen, outside of maybe not having a real long reliever, I guess that's maybe a minor concern. But I think they're a team that, like you said, Ben, they can definitely compete for a World Series, and maybe they might be slightly better than they were last year.
Talking to our pal Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, and we haven't talked to you since the trade deadline went down. It was certainly a interesting day on the airwaves, and you know, you got to see the pieces this weekend, Dennis. But Mason Miller obviously is a guy, after watching him come in the other night. Yeah, Leo DeVries is going to hurt, but I kind of I'm forgetting about him a little bit more every day when you think about Mason Miller and what he brings to the table. And, you know, you talked in your latest piece about the potential of him converting into a starter. I've heard, you know, both sides as to what. Do you get the sense the Padres are okay if he doesn't convert to a starter next year and he just becomes their closer?
Yeah, I think so, would be. You know, Robert Suarez going to be a free agent, most likely, probably going to walk. Jason Adam and Adrian Morejon are going to be in their final year before free agency next year. So, yeah, there's going to be questions in the bullpen. And obviously a guy who throws 103, even if it's just for an inning, that's really exciting. We've already seen it. And I think with the injury history he has, that's a little bit scary because, you know, the last time he started, he sprained his UCL. So there's probably, I mean, just as there is for every single pitcher in the majors almost, there's probably some, you know, lingering damage in there that, you know, she's pitching through. Again, a lot of these guys have like little micro tears in their elbows. It's just not natural to throw 100 miles an hour over and over, yeah, which he does more often than anyone in MLB. But yeah, I think they're open to going any, you know, direction with him in the future. But I think for most likely next season, I would guess he's going to be the closer.
Dennis, you mentioned Fernando. Where is he right now? I watch Fernando's at-bats, and I see a lot of good things. Not chasing. He's drawing his walks. Mike Schilt will, you know, sing his praises almost every post-game news conference about how he impacted the game, the hustle double yesterday. But at the same time, I just feel like there's still one that element missing, that, you know, the monster home runs, the stuff that we've seen him do in the past in terms of slug and extra base hit. Where do you kind of evaluate where Fernando Tatis Jr. stands at the moment?
Well, I feel like I'm still waiting, and we're all still waiting for him to pull a home run. It feels like it's been a while. So that's something that seems like the biggest, maybe not the biggest, but one of the biggest missing ingredients in this game right now. And we all remember 2021. Obviously, that was pre-surgeries and pre-suspension, and he was just, you know, the best slugger in the NL. And that really, you know, elevated that offense, even if that was one of the most disappointing seasons in Padres history. But you don't necessarily need that with how deep the lineup is right now. But, yeah, it just feels like he's kind of still in between on some of these swings, and maybe he's been psyched out a little bit by how often he gets pitched inside. And I think you're still seeing a lot of ground balls to the pole side, but not so much in the air. So if he can somehow, you know, refine the version of himself that we saw, you know, late last season when he wasn't even 100%, that would be a huge boost for the Padres. But it just seems like, you know, for right now, he kind of can't expect, you know, that 40 home run version to just show up anytime. And that kind of puts more of an onus on Xander Bogaerts to keep doing what he's been doing the past month, and Luis Arraez to keep hitting like he has been the last couple of weeks, and Manny Machado to keep carrying the team. But again, they have more depth now, so maybe it's not as big of a problem, but it is a key thing I think we should all be watching if you're a Padres fan or someone interested in the Padres going down the stretch.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Talking to Dennis Lynn here on Ben and Woods this morning. The depth, I do feel, you know, potentially takes some pressure off, but, you know, you're not going to win a World Series without, you know, the guys at the top doing what they need to do, setting the table. You were able to see it yesterday. The bottom of the order really came through. Jake Cronenworth in the eight is certainly a beautiful thing when he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. They're a deep lineup. There's just no question about it. But those guys at the top, they've got to pull their weight. They know that. Everybody knows that. The starting rotation, Dennis, is one that we were talking earlier in the show about the magic that we had last year, late inning walk-offs, this and that. And I contend that we got a lot of magic out of our starters this year so far to this point. And I do think this is a great time, potentially getting Michael King back with what you did last time. this is where, in my opinion, the starting rotation needs to step up and kind of set the tone a little bit for this run, the last 50 games.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at the low end of the bullpen, which is pretty good now. David Morgan, he is your mop-up guy or one of your mop-up guys, and he has a sub-2 ERA. Again, they don't have a lot of length in the bullpen per se, just from any of these individual guys. So yeah, they're going to need these guys to in the rotation to go, you know, 6-7 innings more than occasionally, just to kind of save all those guys from having to work too much before October. But yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what JP Sears does tonight, what Nestor Cortez does on I believe Wednesday, and what Yu Darvish can continue to provide, because even though that was a really, really encouraging start from Darvish last time out, just his stuff doesn't seem quite as sharp as it was, you know, last couple years. But if he can stay on the mound and, you know, provide 7 innings on fewer than 80 pitches or whatever it was, that is something that is kind of efficiency the Padres will need and will kind of rely on going down the, you know, the stretch of the season again.
Dennis, we talked earlier about Michael King's rough rehab start for El Paso yesterday, but he got his pitches in, and we'll see how he feels today. What about Joe Musgrove's bullpen session over the weekend? What did you hear about that?
Yeah, all positive signs. I mean, he's seemingly on track to somehow come back around the one-year mark, potentially in the bullpen in the playoffs, assuming the Padres get there. I still think that's, you know, more of an aspirational thing. When you have maybe the best bullpen in the game, maybe the best bullpen in years in MLB, as good as it was last year for the Padres, I don't know that they necessarily will need Joe Musgrove to go out there and risk it all for an inning in the playoffs, but that's just kind of the kind of guy he is, right? He wants to work towards something, give himself some motivation. He clearly wants to be part of this, a year where the Padres can, you know, potentially win it all, and who knows about next year when you're going to have all these free agents walking. So I think that's classic Joe, and maybe a good thing to strive for, whether it's, you know, truly realistic or not. But, you know, all signs are, you know, he's on track in his rehab, probably a little bit of a schedule. And that's a good sign, at least for next year.
Dennis, do you get the sense that we'll see Randy Vasquez again this year?
You know, I don't. There's always obviously the unfortunate possibility of injuries, and maybe Randy has to come back up. But just with the way he is as a starter, obviously, we all see the huge disparity between his expected numbers and his real numbers. And it seems like that finally caught up to him this past start. And just, you know, not going deep in games. That's something they're going to need from their starters. I think, yeah, maybe it's kind of run its course this season. But, I mean, to Randy's credit, I think they went like 14-8 in his 22 starts this season. So he more than did his job. You know, you could argue Dylan Cease, although the underlying number's a lot better, he hasn't done his job quite as well as Randy has, given what, you know, Randy has to work with. He's clearly made the most out of his abilities this year, so I think he deserves huge kudos for that. But, yeah, to your original question, I think we might have seen the last of him for a while.
You mentioned injuries, which are always a possibility, but when and if Michael King does come back, the Padres will be facing a 26-man roster crunch. We already saw it, having to send Randy Vasquez down. They're kind of out of optionable players, aren't they, on the pitching side? If they bring back Michael King, they might have to DFA someone. Am I mistaken about that? Like, Yuki Matsui and Wandy Peralta can't be sent down to the minors, as far as I understand. What's your understanding of it?
You know, I probably shouldn't say don't quote me when I'm on the radio, but I think JP Sears has options.
Okay,
he does.
I want to say. So, yeah, okay. Thanks, Woodsy. So that would probably be the place. And, I mean, Nestor Cortez, even though he's a veteran guy who was actually pretty good last season based on the numbers, I know, you know, most of this season has been hurt. But, yeah, I wouldn't think, you know, Sears would be ahead of him in pecking order just yet. But, yeah, we'll have to see how these two guys, how they debut with the Padres and what they look like in the majors. So, yeah, I think there is room there for Michael to come back, and there's an obvious path. But, yeah, we'll have to see how this series in Arizona goes first and how Michael recovers today first of all, too.
It's obviously a good problem to have. Pitching depth is absolutely essential late in the season and going to the playoffs, so we'll see how they play it out. Dennis, really good visit today. Appreciate your time. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
There's our Dennis, thanks, our Lynn Sider. Thanks to Hamul Casino each week for sponsoring Dennis's visit. Really, really good information there. And he said that Randy Vasquez probably won't be back. I still think he would be a better long man in the bullpen than like a Yuki Matsui. I'm not saying that Yuki needs to find a way to the injured list somewhere at the end of the year, but I'd rather see if you ever needed to go to a guy for two or three innings because a starter didn't make it out of the third. I'd rather see Randy Vasquez coming in at this point.
Kind of the mop-up duty.
I would think he stretched out enough that he could do that and might serve that role. The question is, how do you get him back on the roster when you're very limited? And I didn't know that about Sears, so props to you, Woods, for having that, the J.P. Sears. But, they also may need him to start every fifth day going forward for a while, and we'll see how he does compared to Nestor Cortez in this series against the Diamondbacks, as well as to which pitcher you want to see getting more innings down the stretch.
Bro, just manipulate the IL. Like,
that's what
every
I'm thinking, too. Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Dodgers do to perfection every single year. And I mean, honestly, like, nobody does it better than those guys. And, it's an issue. People know about it. People are pissy about it. But what are they going to do? What are they going to fine them? All right, fine us. Go ahead. Like, just manipulate the IL like every other team does, especially them.
I mean,
it's kind of the only route they have to take, right?
It's literally
every
the only route.
Every pitcher has something that's bothering them at this point in the season. So it's not even really manipulation. Like last year, Stephen Kolek conveniently, hit the IL as soon as he was on the roster long enough to qualify for his Rule 5 season. I'm sure something was bothering him, but, how much so? Would it have required an IL stint? Maybe not. But, yeah, you can start doing that as you get to August and September with your roster and being a little more creative with your injured list.
Yeah, tight hamstring, pulled quad, whatever it may be. That's what you need to do. You got Brian Hoeing down there still.
I forgot about Brian Hoeing.
Yeah, you got Brian Hoeing down there. You got Sean Reynolds down there as well. There's some options that they have down below. So, yeah, you never know what's going to happen, but they do have some options.
All right, final hour. Look ahead to this series. We've got tickets to give away for the weekend on Friday, Padres Red Sox, and headlines in a rival report as well. Don't go anywhere. Bennett Woods rolling on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.